step into the sin bin. This is Penalty Box Radio.
Three-time best sports blog winner.
With Justin Bradford.
Two-time host of Music City Best Sports Reporter.
And Glenn Blackwell. Brought to you by E610 Athletes. It's time to talk all things hockey in the Music City. Penalty Box Radio is on. Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And welcome to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, intern Alley, producer Josh Upton behind the glass. We have a full crew in the studio tonight, including Landry, Agnes Davis, the big fan, the German Shepherd that is so popular all over social media. She has her own coloring book, Glenn.
I am here to tell you guys I'm going to be distracted this entire show.
I can tell already. You keep side-eyeing.
Yeah, she's beautiful, and she's so sweet, and she's so happy. So
we're going to talk with Landry later.
We are.
There's so much talk. We have Catfish Jake in the studio. This is a great Thanksgiving edition of Penalty Box Reality. And you know why it's great, too, is the Nashville Predators, still number one in the league. Did you know that?
Did you know that?
31 points. The two best teams in the league took on each other last night, both with some injuries as well. So that's what the playoffs are like. You're obviously going to have some injuries in the playoffs, but the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators faced off. So Nashville, 31 points right now. They are 15-5-1. And even though they may not have always played their best hockey throughout this entire stretch of November, they're still winning games. And hey, you know, home cooking, they really needed that after what happened on the road trip. I mean, usually, you know, the Predators are so good on the road. And then they really needed that win against the absolute worst team in the league, the LA Kings, on Saturday night.
They did. And I mean, when we talk about the game last night, can you have scripted a better matchup? This is the matchup that I've told you for the last couple of seasons I dream of in the final. I dream of a matchup like that. And it is just, I think that the best thing that could have possibly happened to the Preds over the last few years is getting so close to possibly winning the cup and then not making it. Because I think that it's given them, it really has, it's given them that extra push to say, you know what, we know what Tampa Bay is capable of. We have got to find that next level. Even if we haven't played our best in the stretch, we have got to find that next level because they know what that requires. So in hindsight, I think that's the best thing that could have happened to them.
In the second period, that's what you saw. Mm-hmm. That was some tremendous hockey to where it seemed like Pecorini was just kind of being able to lay back a little bit in the second period and relax because the Predators were just pounding it against Tampa Bay, putting so much pressure, cycling the puck, putting everything they had on them, and they scored a couple goals, scored two goals. Philip Forsberg, that release. I think seeing Domingue's hand go up, his glove, the puck was already in the back of the net before he was finished following trying to make the glove safe.
And the flex of that stick, it's unreal watching that in real time and then also watching it slow down.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable the release he has. But yeah, I mean, the first period, there was a lot of speed. They were fast. But the second period was just all around absolutely dominating. And they had to try to keep up in the third. But the second period was probably the best period of hockey that we've seen out of this team so far.
And how about this? The Nashville Predators are no longer last in the power play.
They're no longer.
That is huge.
They've been listening to our show. They knew what they needed to work on.
They're 13.6%. The LA Kings. The LA Kings. 13.3%. But, you know, three power play goals in the past two games. Making Kyle Turris somehow is the power play wizard right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're a wizard, Kyle.
There's that depth that, you know, we say.
So I gotta ask, intern Allie, been a while. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Why are you?
Missed you guys.
Yeah, are you distracted by the dog?
A little bit, maybe. Yeah.
Put a dog in the studio and expect us to not be distracted.
Well, especially a cute dog like that.
I know, and she's sweet.
I'm sorry, I don't want to ignore Catfish Jake over there. He's cute too. But again, it's a Thanksgiving edition of Penalty Box here. We have a fun show tonight because there are a lot of changes going on. A change in Nashville Predators had Rocco Grimaldi goes back to Milwaukee. So, assuming that means someone is going to get activated. There's going to be a change because why make the move unless you're just tired of him being a little rusty and just sitting on the bench? Because I think, first of all, I wish they'd play Rocco Grimaldi. Mm-hmm. I like his offensive upside. I really wish he'd get more playing time. Yeah, he's small, but small can be fierce and quick. Look at Glenn.
Small works.
And look at intern Allie.
That's what I've said before. Small work. Sometimes they can maneuver down the ice and move their bodies in ways that somebody that's, you know, 6'2" might not be able to do. They're agile.
Being closer to the ice sometimes is helpful. Duck. They fly over you.
And the falls are easier. You know, you bounce right back up when you fall.
But him going to Milwaukee, good boost for Milwaukee, who desperately needs that boost because before Rocco Grimaldi got called up, Milwaukee was killing it. After Rocco Grimaldi got called up, been a little more rough. Now,
it speaks very highly of him. I mean,
it really does. It really does because he's obviously a leader, and he's what's so tough is being that kind of player that you're in that gray area. You're obviously good enough to be playing some games in the NHL, but you could also be absolutely killing it in the AHL. Mm-hmm. That's where Rocco Grimaldi is right now. So he's in that area where I just want him to have that little bit of extra to where he can just earn a secure spot on an NHL roster with the Nashville Predators because, first of all, Rocco Grimaldi is a good dude.
Yeah.
I always like that. Second of all, I really like his tenacity when he's on the ice because that goal that he had, too, was great. That's what you see out of the small, the speedster like that, too. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on here, but obviously lots of change has been going on with the roster. Victor Arvidsson still on the IR. PK Subban on the IR, but he could be activated tomorrow if they so choose to. Austin Watson being back as well. You still have a guy like Zach Rinaldo on the roster, Freddie Gaudreau. They still have, you know, the eight defensemen going right now. And so, obviously, Tony Boteto and Yannick Weber and Matt Irwin getting a lot more playing time now that PK Subban's been out. But, hey, the pairing of Matthias Ekholm and Danny Hamhuis was pretty solid last night. It really, really was. And then Matthias Ekholm with that sweeping save with 10 seconds left in the game. Glenn, what were your emotions when watching that?
All the emotions. I don't think the broadcast team announced his full name when he did that, but it is Matthias Pekkarinen Ekholm. That is his new name now. Because that was unbelievable.
I had the same emotion that I did when Pekka saved it with the end of the butt of his stick.
Oh, yeah.
It was the same emotion. That was the
that
same
vibe.
That
one still makes no sense to me. I've watched it 100 times, and I still can't figure it out.
So I do need to say this, though. I see sometimes on the fan pages, you know, there's spellings of players' names that people really need to get right.
Oh, okay. And what have you seen, JB?
I've seen Ekholm. Which
I made a graphic for that.
Yeah.
I'm funny.
I don't recall there being a mating sound of an elk next to a home. And then you have Ekholm.
Yeah.
I don't think he's German. He's Swedish. It's Matthias Ekholm, Ekholm. Folks, if you are saying a player is your favorite player, get his dang name right.
And if
you should know how to spell their names.
And if you're watching the back of his jersey while he's skating down the ice, you're going to know how to spell his name.
It's literally right there for you. I don't understand how you can say you're watching the game and, oh, hey, look, Philip Forsberg with a U-R-G or F-O-R-E. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can screw it up that much. Okay, autocorrect. Did you know on Facebook you have an edit feature?
Yes,
shocking.
Do. Yes,
shocking.
You do.
Shocking. Get the names right. You want to represent the fan base really well? Know how to spell the players' names.
Get it, JB. He's starting to get tense. His fists are balled up.
It frustrates me beyond belief when you're like, this is my favorite player. Oh, really? That's your favorite player, huh? So are you going to correct them when they sign a picture of theirs and they spell it the right way and you say, no, it's not right? You're going to try to correct them on how they spell their name?
Justin Bradford rant? Over.
That one's never over. I mean, it's a player's name. If somebody, think about it. Put yourself in that place. If somebody misspelled your name constantly, wouldn't you roll your eyes a little bit and say, "Well, they obviously don't respect me. They can't get my name right."
Well, yeah, absolutely. But especially it is a absolutely different level when you say that's your favorite team and your favorite player that you've been watching for years.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No validation on the fact that you've been a fan for that many years. Oh, if you misspell their name.
I love Ryan. I love Ryan Johansson.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
And Ryan Ailis. And
Yo,
Roman Josie.
Josie,
I love all those. They're so great.
I mean,
favorite team.
It's sad, but even last season, I heard Josie behind me multiple times by people that are season ticket holders. And I just have to sit there and breathe deep.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. Folks, get it right, please. Get it right. And what's even better is this person that posted this on Facebook was going on a rant because Matthias Ekholm was not picked as the number one star of the game, which, you know, the stars of the game mean so much in terms of a player contract, what they're able to do. I'm sure the agent is going, well, you see, David, Matthias Ekholm had first star of the game 6 times in the season, so obviously he's earned more money because of that right there, because the home media picked him with 5 minutes left to go.
Well, their favorite player couldn't do it, couldn't get first star of the game, because Ekholm doesn't exist. Ekholm doesn't play for the Preds, so no, so, they're not going to win.
So,
first
folks,
star
for
of
those
game.
Of you that do not know, the 3 stars of the game are voted on by the home media. And for that to happen is we turn in a sheet with 5 minutes left to go in the game, because they have to process this to get it down to game ops and everything like that to get the interview set up for after the game. Things happen quickly. 5 minutes is not much time left in a game. That can go very, very fast if the clocks just continue to tick. You don't have lots of stoppages in play like you do in basketball. And hockey can go woo really fast. So we turn that in, and obviously things can change. Things can change when there's a goal, a game time goal, a winning goal, things like that. But if that's your biggest beef, the star of the game... Okay. Even if it's like star of the week for what the league is doing, yes, it's great to earn recognition, but I think what you're seeing in the standings is a little more important. What's happening in the playoffs is way more important, and what happens at the end of the season is the most important.
And what he's doing and all the other players are doing day to day on the ice, that's most important. So
it's their job.
Yeah.
It's their job. And you know, your job as a fan, get their dang name right. Okay. Up next, a lot of changes going on in the West. Coaches are not safe right now. Coaches are switching everywhere. Ken Hitchcock coming out of the retirement like he's Urban Meyer. And so we're going to talk about all that coming up next here. Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford along with Glenn Blackwell, intern Allie, producer Josh behind the glass. And we had somebody call in during the break there because it made a very, very good point about how when Pontus, I'll just not say his last name yet, was a part of this team who is now part of the Ducks and somehow scoring goals.
Doing well.
Been on waivers multiple times and scoring goals.
Him.
That there was so much confusion over how to say his last name. Well, he would get asked, and anything that somebody said, he'd go, oh, yeah. Like, no matter what, yeah, sure. Then he decided Aberg. Then it was Auberg. And Daniel Lavender with Admiral's Roundtable did a lot of digging on it. And I even did my own digging looking into Swedish language as well. So Pontus, with his last name, has that little ring above the A, and that changes everything in terms of how you pronounce things. And you're looking at how you pronounce Pekka's last name, and... Mm-hmm. Saros is actually Juusa Saros because the two U's. Well, we found out it was actually Pontus Åberg. Mm-hmm. Not Aberg, not Auberg. But you know what? The Swedes and the Finns are so nice. They're just like, yeah, sure, whatever. Just call me.
You
know,
so he would say whichever you would say.
Yeah.
So,
and he's like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, no. We want to get your name right.
Everybody got confirmation of a different pronunciation, but
it's important.
It is spelled A-B-E-R-G.
Yeah, with that little
with
ring.
With the little ring around
little
it.
Little ring.
But so that is a good point, though.
But it is very confusing. It's confusing for broadcasters because sometimes they don't want to worry about correcting so much. They just focus on, yeah, just call me, whatever. Call me. Don't Americanize it. It's your name, man.
Abe.
Okay, so lots of changes going on. We learned last night, Mike Yeo fired the St. Louis Blues. Fired, one of the reasons, because... shut out 3 out of the last 4 games.
Yikes.
How awful must that be to be shut out? You can't even score. Can't even score a dang goal.
Yeah.
In 3 or 4 games, and you can't even do it against the worst team in the league.
That, and when you look at St. Louis, I mean, they've pretty much over the last few seasons they have a good team. I mean, when you've got O'Reilly, Tarasenko, and Braden Schenn out there, and you still can't find a way to score goals, and you get shut out 3 out of 4 games, there is something lacking. There is a problem. And it's just, that's unexplainable. And I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of people would say that was a little bit late on the firing to go, you know, get shut out 3 out of 4 games and then do it. But it's unbelievable.
And especially a team that's supposed to be so good on paper.
That's what I'm saying. They've always had a solid, yeah.
And how often with St. Louis and Dallas have we seen, oh, yeah, look at all the moves they made. They're going to be good on paper.
At the beginning of the season, that's what I'm saying. At the beginning of the season, it looks good, so it doesn't make
always
sense.
Always an issue. But you can't blame Jake Allen when your team can't score goals.
No.
That's a non-issue right there. So it was FD Bort on Twitter brought this up. Can you imagine that you fire Ken Hitchcock, you have Mike Yeo hired as your coach in waiting, who was fired from the Minnesota Wild, because he couldn't get them to do what they needed to do in Minnesota. So you fire Ken Hitchcock, who was a great coach, great guy. He's been retired how many different times? It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fire Mike Yeo. Craig Berube is now your head coach, who was the head coach of the Flyers, who didn't last long there as the head coach either. Great coach in terms of assistant coach and everything, but not necessarily the best one, I think, to obviously take over. That's why he's the interim status right there, too. But if he's in charge of the offense and they're getting shut out, something needs to change.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to see. So Mike Yeo, last season with St. Louis, he was 44-32-6. Season before, when he took over, he was 22-8-2. But obviously not doing anything in the playoffs. Oh, just like with Minnesota. And then, so that's one dumpster fire. Another dumpster fire was going on was in L.A. So they've had coaching change. Another thing is going on, Chicago, Joel Quenneville out there partying it up with Chicago Bears fans.
I know.
Because they made the wrong decision there. He wins
three cups
for you. He's living
his best life right now.
You fire the coach because your management can't sign good contracts? Are you kidding me?
And since that firing, they've won 2 games and lost 4. So it's just one of those things, too, where, I mean, I just think that Stan Bowman just kind of dug his organization into a hole. Like, when you, I mean, he is not only one of their, I think he's like second best in their franchise, but in the league overall, Quenneville, being one of the most winning coaches. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I just feel like you're just digging yourself deeper and deeper when you get rid of somebody like that. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the Preds broke the Blackhawks. It wasn't the coach's fault, right?
And especially when you have a guy like Brent Seabrook signed to the contract that he has, which does not expire until after the 2023-2024 season, and he's getting paid $6.875 million a year. Mm-hmm. Stan Bowman, that's on you, bud, not on Joel Quenneville.
Yeah.
Bad decision-making there. And then, let's go on further, Edmonton relieves Todd McLellan of his duties, and that's where Ken Hitchcock goes, because Ken Hitchcock was working with the Dallas Stars in a role, and so he goes now to Edmonton to basically finish up the season there, and then they'll decide what they want to do. Funny, because Edmonton is playing in San Jose tonight, which is Todd McLellan's old team. So much drama, as the Canadians would call it, going on with all the coaching in the West. Like, this is just the West, and now it makes you wonder, is anything going to go on in the East? Pittsburgh's also a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah.
Well, I love the term dumpster fire because it's just so true about some of these teams right now.
It is true. And especially, I mean, just like we were just talking about, when you look at a team that it's usually worked well, when you've got the roster that you have and something just isn't working. And then that mentality comes in. And this is the problem, too, that, you know, Chicago is going to face, St. Louis is going to face. You're already in that hole mentally where you just can't really get out of it as a team. And then you have to go and adjust to an interim replacement who you're trying to figure out, you know, what your identity is and how to get out of that hole with those changes. And that's going to take its mental toll on these players and these teams. So
it's honestly like putting a substitute in a middle school room after an entire semester of them having an original teacher. That's exactly what it is. And it's going to change their mentality. And it's whether or not they make the decision to come back for it or not.
So here's it with Edmonton. You have Connor McDavid, arguably the best player in the NHL right now. I mean, you can say Sidney Crosby as well. Interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
The best player overall. You have Connor McDavid. You should at least be squeaking out some wins with just him carrying you.
Something.
You should
Something.
Be able to. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. One of their bright moments was when they actually beat the Preds for the first time since the U.S. Postal Service came into play. So it's been a long time. That was one of their few bright spots for Edmonton. And then they go off and they rattle off a win against bottom teams like Chicago and Detroit. And they get their butts handed to them by so many other teams as well. And then Todd McLellan, looking at what he was supposed to do with Edmonton, I think this is not necessarily a Todd McLellan problem. This is an Edmonton problem. All these first-round picks, they cannot figure it out. You have Connor McDavid. You have Leon Draisaitl. Build. Chicago was able to do it for a little bit. Pittsburgh was able to do it with Malkin and Crosby. So Kane and Taves, you should be building. I don't understand what the issue is with Edmonton. They just cannot get it to click. That's a management thing. That is not always coach. Because if management's not putting the right players out there, not drafting the right players to build this team correctly, it's on them, not the head coach.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing about that business is that those are usually going to be the first to
scapegoat.
You know?
Always the scapegoat.
Yeah.
So now with this going into play, looking at the NHL and the standings and everything too, it's going to be St. Louis can't even be thinking about, oh, we can still salvage the season, make the playoffs. It's a hey, let's establish ourselves as a team, like Ottawa.
Like Ottawa.
Well, yeah. We're a team, and see where you go from there, because there's not much more you can go up when you see what Nashville, Winnipeg are doing, and even Minnesota right now. Still waiting for Minnesota, that bubble to break, because I don't believe they're as good as the standings say they are with Minnesota. Nashville, Winnipeg obviously deserve to be at the top. Colorado's going to fluctuate a little bit because they have a lot of talent there, but they're still very, very young. Dallas is still Dallasing it up. And then you have the rest. Mm. And so it's going to be very interesting to see. Calgary, I think, is real right now, given the, oh, was that just a little lame
yes.
whimper? Oh, sorry, distracted dog
she's,
in the studio,
she's just
folks.
Practicing warming up.
Vancouver's falling by the wayside because we expected that. A young team trying to build, but good for them. San Jose, obviously a stacked team. Right now, this is still Nashville, Winnipeg, and I'd say San Jose's west right now. Calgary, if they still need to prove themselves a lot more, even though they're a very good team, very, very talented. I think those are the three cream of the crop teams in the west. Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with that when you break it down that way. I mean, San Jose, obviously, they're stacked and they're doing something right. But yeah, it's kind of mind blowing the way that you can have something set up so good for success and then it not even be close to being successful.
But hey, the Nashville Predators are successful right now.
Yeah.
Raise a batter.
Yes.
Okay. So up next, we are going to have, we have a stack segment. So we have Landry is in studio. German Shepherd, very popular on Facebook and social media because she loves her Predators. We have authors Tim and Angie Davis here, the coloring book that the Landry put out, and also Catfish Jake. If you don't remember Catfish Jake, I do because I was in Pittsburgh for this game.
We will remind you if you don't remember.
I was there sitting next to Jeremy K. Gover, the Nashville Predators Radio Network, down the lower level in the auxiliary media section, and all of a sudden I see this thing flying in the air. And I was like, who the heck did, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy that did it. And he has a foundation and an organization and a great, great charity that he's here to support as well. So you know what? When you're able to use your star power for something like that, that's what I call a good person. When you're able to use that to help other people out. So we're going to talk to all of them up next from Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, intern Alley, producer Josh behind the glass. And we have a very special guest in the studio right now, Landry Agnes Davis. This pup is fantastic, and she will take care of any troll that tries to troll Preds fans. She has videos published on her Facebook all the time. She's a German Shepherd. She loves the Predators, and she wears sunglasses all the time, too. Landry Agnes Davis on Facebook as well, if you want to search her. She has a book out now called Landry Loves the Predators. It's a coloring activities book, and very happy that I was a part of it, along with Tim and Angie Davis and Catfish Jake. I mean, it was a great project just to show off people that love the Predators and to raise money for charity. I mean, a great thing right there. But, you know, we actually have Landry in studio, so we need to interview her. Don't you think so, Glenn?
We have to.
Yeah, we have
to. I mean, we brought her here. We've got to ask her some questions.
Okay, so Landry, we got to ask. How exciting was it for you to have an activity book published on the Preds?
Oh, yeah. The coloring book. Man, that was really exciting. We got to work with you, Justin, and Catfish Jake. But the really great thing about the coloring book is we get to use it for charity and help charities raise money and help kids and all that fun stuff like that. So that's what I really like about having the coloring book.
Absolutely love that, Landry. And I have to ask you, so do you have a favorite Preds player?
Ooh, my favorite players. Well, first, I like all the Preds, so let me just say that. But if I had to pick my favorite players, man, I gotta go with Johansson. Really like his passing skills and his grittiness on the ice. And man, Philip Forsberg, or they call him Philip Scoresberg because he scores all those goals and it's exciting to watch. And man, I really like Craig Smith. And he just gets in there and roughs it up and makes it exciting when he's on the ice. So those are my three favorite players.
Well, Landry, what do you do when your parents are away at the games if you don't get to go?
Oh, yeah. So when my parents go to the Preds game, I have to stay home and babysit my little brother, Sheldon. He's a Cocker Spaniel. And so Sheldon and I watch the games, and I'm pretty active on my Twitter account during the game. So I'll tweet out my opinions about what I think is going on and different things during the game. So people can follow along with me on Twitter, and I'll just sit here at the house and watch the game until my parents get back home.
Well, that sounds like a really tough job. So Landry, before we get to interviewing your parents and Catfish Jake here, how can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so if you want to follow along on social media, you can find me on Facebook. I'm under Landry Agnes Davis. And then we also have a Twitter account at Landry Agnes GSD. And then we also have an Instagram account, so Landry Agnes Davis on Instagram. So you can follow along on one or all three of those platforms.
Well, there you go. You got to make sure you follow Landry.
I'm tweeting out a photo of her right now.
We just interviewed a
studio.
Dog.
She is so excited to be here. She's smiling in her picture.
So
I just tweeted it out. You guys got to go.
So let's start off with Tim. Tim here in studio. Tim Davis, one of the authors, and you've authored multiple books, Tim, but just what inspired getting Landry involved like this on social media?
Oh, man. I think it started off with us just following the Preds and Landry doing her videos about the Preds. And next thing we knew was that her biggest following were moms with little kids. And we would start getting requests on Facebook asking us if we would give a shout out to the kids. I think Angie had a friend that her daughter will only take a bath if she watches a Landry's video, right? So when I realized that, I'm like, it just is a natural progression to do a children's, a coloring book, right, about the Preds. That's when I reached out to you. And then I thought, we could use this book to help out organizations like what Catfish Jake is doing and really use it to do good and raise money. And that's how it kind of started.
And what a great concept, too. So many different activities as well, such a variety. Just along with working with myself and Catfish Jake, too, just putting this together as well, what kind of inspired some of the different activities that you came up with, too?
I think, you're just keeping with the hockey theme,
sure,
right? And so you want to keep the hockey theme going, and you want to keep it simple because most of the followers that we have, the moms, the kids, are usually under 6 years old.
Sure.
So trying to keep that age range in mind and going, okay, how can we mix in there some coloring pages like along with some activity pages? Because we have an activity page that Jake thought of, which was help Jake throw the catfish on the ice, which is a maze, and the kids can do that. And then there's some crossword puzzles and things like that. So we're just trying to keep with age grade.
So I kind of want to just touch on the personal aspect of this. Like, what does it feel like for you guys to know that there are people at their homes with their kids who are just getting so excited about this dog that y'all are just kind of bringing to life and the joy that brings to them? What does that do for you?
It's really awesome because it's just a way to give back. And because sometimes you're just sitting at the house, right? And that's what people don't know. I mean, we just sit around the house with the dog, and when the Preds are out of town, we're just watching the game together. But then we'll get messages and comments, and people have really got engaged, and we've met a lot of new friends as a result of this as well. So it's just a really good feeling to know that, you've helped a mom help their kid take a bath, right? Because of the video that you did, right? Which I guess is really important to parents. So it's a good feeling, I guess.
And Tim, what's the special thing that you have going right now? I know really trying to raise money. It's that time of year. Tis the season. We're wanting to help out more kids. So what is the special promotion you have going on right now?
Yeah. So, obviously Catfish Jake is here and he can tell you more about this. But one of the big reasons that we put the book together was so that his organization, the Last Minute Toy Store, could use it to raise funds. And so right now, if you're listening or hearing this later, we just want you to go donate $5 to the Last Minute Toy Store. And then Jake's organization will be able to use that $5 and purchase and have some of the coloring books printed to give away as Christmas presents, and then also have a little bit of money left over to do their work over the Last Minute Toy Store. So it's just $5. Come on, you got $5.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Oh, sure.
Go donate that, especially if you're a fan of Landry's on her page. Definitely do that. And it's just a way to help kids have a better Christmas, and I just love what he's doing.
Absolutely. Let's get Catfish Jake on here. So first of all, Jake, when are we going to see you throw another catfish?
I've got a couple plans in the works, so I can't really say just yet because I don't want to get busted.
No.
there may be some plans for a place where you would go to gamble.
Oh,
a lot of people go to gamble.
Oh, interesting.
Or a weekend full of stars. So we'll see about that.
Oh, okay. So Detroit.
Yeah.
A casino
Yeah. So Jake, too, just with this as well, I mean, obviously you've been able to utilize having a following from what you've been able to accomplish with being a super Preds fan and throwing that catfish for good. What inspired you to do that and to get involved to want to make sure you're changing children's lives?
Well, really Jesus, first of all. I think we're all here to help each other as much as we can. I think that's our purpose for being here. But I was raised by my parents, who were very charitable people. We were really poor when we were growing up, but they still gave away a bunch of stuff that they probably couldn't afford to give away. So I was just talking to my wife about it, and we were like, man, you know, there's people. I went from like 60 Twitter followers to 2,500
yeah.
overnight after that silly stunt. So we just figured we could do something good with it. Somebody in Nolensville reached out to me about doing the Nolensville Roundup, how they raised, and they were able to raise like $700-something in no time over some Catfish Jake t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And once I heard that, I was like, man, this is crazy. Because, you know, it's pretty ignorant what I did, so you don't think people are going to love it that much, you know what I mean? But once you find out they do, and they, you know, the crazy thing was they were lined up at the door when they opened for me to sign them, and it was people I knew. Like, I live by, you know, it's my neighbors and stuff. So once we figured that out, it was like, well, you know, this is, to me, it was kind of a God thing. Like, this is his way of letting you do something bigger than yourself. So you got to go with it. So that's kind of what we did.
So well, for you, what was it like to be a part of Landry's book with Landry Loves the Predators?
It was the easiest thing ever because Tim took care of all of it. But it was cool for me because my kids I got kids, so they like it. They think it's cool. And being able to raise money, especially for the Last Minute Toy Store, which is very near and dear to me, is really cool because there's no kids, as far as I'm concerned, that should ever go without Christmas, without toys on Christmas.
And so how can people find out more information about this to be involved and to follow you and everything?
They can go to lastminutetoystore.com to volunteer and to see what we do. Last year, we were able to provide 5,600 kids in this area with Christmas presents that wouldn't have had them otherwise. And one thing that makes us unique is there's no bad charities. There's not.
Sure.
What we take, the Davidson County Sheriff's Office warehouse, and turn it into a toy store so the parents get to come and shop, and it's all for free. So it's not only providing the kids gifts, but the parents get a little bit of dignity and knowing that they picked those gifts for their kids. And then I guess you can follow the Last Minute Toy Store is on Twitter. I still to this day don't know my Twitter handle.
I think it's just your name.
I think it's my name, but it's my middle name, which is DeVerl, so it's weird. I think it's just at Jacob DeVerl.
Yeah.
But we're getting ramped up. Last Minute Toy Store is getting ramped up, so we're about to go full steam ahead on that, so we're pretty excited. It's an exciting time of year. And the December 15th Preds game, we're going to be – so we worked with the United States Marine Corps last minute – or Toys for Tots.
Sure.
So we're going to be outside the Preds game December 15th with big totes for everybody coming to the game, bring a toy and drop it off, and it'll all go to the Last Minute Toy Store.
That's awesome. And on Twitter, that's Last Min Toy Store, at Last Min Toy Store, to find out more information there. And so, Jake, before we have to let you go, obviously I got to ask a catfish question.
All right.
So people obviously read about this, but I got to hear it from your mouth.
Okay.
Where, did you stuff it down your pants, in your shirt? Is it different every time depending on the venue?
So just for authenticity, these are the blue jeans I was wearing when I had it in Pittsburgh. These are the boots. I didn't wear the compression shorts, but I had compression shorts on. I vacuum sealed it, and I put it down kind of the back of my thigh, and it was, you know, kind of head-to-head, for lack of a better term, so. The way I did it in Nashville, she was there, unfortunately, had to witness the event, intern Allie was. I just put it in my back because they don't care here, but I had to be a little bit more slick. In Denver, I just put it in my boot. Those people up there they're a little bit slower for obvious reasons in Denver.
The candy.
And carry a little bit less. Yeah, a lot of gummies around there, so I don't think they would pick up on it anyway.
Well, I'm always curious because everybody has their way of doing it. So, but all of you, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. And again, Last Minute Toy Store, Landry Loves the Predators, the activity book, so many ways to get involved and to help other people for the sake of hockey, too. I mean, we all love hockey here, and there's a way that you can support the sport that you love and being involved in helping others that are in need, and especially helping to make a child's Christmas that much better just because of the sport that you love.
That's huge. It's like hockey holiday.
It is. I'm getting shivers.
I now have all the chills right now.
I know. All right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate y'all. Thank you, Landry. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Angie. Thank you, Landry's trainer is here too. I mean, we
have got a
Jake,
full studio.
We got a full studio.
I love this.
Here tonight. But Landry, I mean, Landry's so well behaved.
She is,
so
and she did such a great interview.
Such a great interview. I just can't. We interviewed a dog. I didn't know that was. She's got to go on America's Got Talent.
I know. We're gonna get a photo tonight, and we're gonna tweet that out because she's so pretty. Yeah.
So. Oh, gotta hit the button. That's how technology savvy I am. So Bobby is also trained Ryan Ellis's dog.
Oh.
Yeah. How about right. that? Is that pretty
cool? Another
cool?
hockey awesome. Tie.
Does Ryan Ellis' dog have a tremendous
my
beard,
dog,
too?
Ryan Ellis?
There's like so many intertwining circles going on here. Okay, folks, up next, we have Twitter questions. Lots of different things to dive into there. Here on Penalty Box, here to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Excuse me and my awkward approach. I just noticed you were running out.
And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, intern Allie, producer Josh behind the glass, and it is Q&A time. I still can't get over we interviewed a dog.
I know.
That was awesome.
So cool. She was such a good interview.
I didn't know dogs
so
could talk. Ridiculous.
Me either,
like
man.
That. I mean,
I ask my dog all the time if he can talk. Just say something, you know?
And she just made it look so easy.
Bow wow. Yeah. Rough.
I'll leave it to Landry over here. Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, the Predators.
To actually put together sentences like that.
It's
all
incredible.
Right. Q&A time. It is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving mm-hmm. week. So got to start off with Yellow 5 asked a couple questions here, but we'll start overall. Glenn, what is your favorite Thanksgiving food? The people want to know.
Oh, man. My favorite overall, I think. I love corn pudding.
Okay. All right.
So much. Yeah. So if it's there, I'm going to eat. And I'm going to eat more than I should. I'm going to eat it all, and then I'm going to eat more. So
that sounds about right. Intern Allie, what about you?
It either has to be stuffing.
Uh-huh.
Or probably the cranberry out of the can. You can find me about
out of the can.
Out of the can.
The canned cranberry.
Canned cranberry.
I got to ask Josh, what about you, sir? Favorite Thanksgiving food?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. That's solid.
Yes. Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. All right.
Yes. Just keep going. Keep going.
Make me hungry right now.
More.
For me, it is stuffing, dressing, whatever, because, I mean, everybody has their ways they want to call it,
mm-hmm.
with sausage in it, with a little bit of meat.
Okay.
And it's mm-hmm. great that mm-hmm. night, but it's even better as leftovers.
And
so what we do in
top?
The Bradford household is you take some of that dressing, that stuffing, and you pan fry it in the morning for breakfast, kind of like what you do with corned beef hash or hash mm-hmm. browns or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you top it with fried eggs, like over easy, over medium, with a little bit of yolk and everything.
Mm.
So it's just like corned beef hash, but a lot more flavor because it's dressing
yeah.
from mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Got that spices and everything like that. You get it nice and crispy on the outside, just like you would for corned beef hash or hash browns.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call leftovers.
So I will be tweeting out Justin's address for Thanksgiving, and we will all see
I'll
you
be there.
Okay, go ahead.
Day after Thanksgiving
yeah.
to me is just as good as Thanksgiving Day itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
It is. I honestly prefer the after Thanksgiving sandwich.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I don't even use the bread. I just go for another Thanksgiving the next day.
What kind of turkey y'all having? Because Yellow 5 asks us, well, what kind of turkey? Smoked, baked, fried, other kind of turkey?
Mine's going to be a surprise. I have no idea. I'll find out when I get there.
Me too.
Me, what my dad likes to do, he's called what's called spatchcock.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the thing. You basically debone the turkey and you lay it out flat.
Okay.
And so you're able to get the brine in there, the seasonings all over the entire turkey, and it cooks mm-hmm. more evenly, and it comes out so juicy. So research that, spatchcock.
Okay.
I know it's
yeah.
getting almost too late to research how you're going to do your turkey, but it's absolutely delicious that way. Okay, hockey-related questions.
There's another Thanksgiving.
There's plenty of Thanksgiving.
Your favorite Thanksgiving finger food?
A finger food?
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs.
Same.
Okay. GBC Gaines. With so many teams letting their coaches go, who could be next, or have we seen the end of it now? I think Jeff Blaisdell was got to be on the hot seat. Jeff Blaisdell, he's the head coach for the Detroit Red Wings. They're doing a little better than they were for the start of the season, but if you're going to scapegoat him, even though they don't have much going on there, they still have some young talent, so I think he might be the odd man out coming up soon. Anybody else?
I mean, it could be. And which team would Quenneville right now? I think he's just living his best life, so I don't
he's
know.
He's taking shots with Bears
he's just
fans.
Having a good time, so I don't even know where he'd go. Yeah, I don't even know if he's thinking about what he would do next.
We have at President Sean Henry, the Nashville Predators president and
on the
CEO,
Twitter.
On Twitter. This is a great one. How did the Golden Girls thing start? Out of the countless interviews that I've done, it is the first time a question actually stopped me and made me think twice about the answer. This one in honor of Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask, who's your favorite Golden Girl? If you could be a Golden Girl, who would you be?
Yeah.
Like, what do you relate with? So everybody has their answer. Let's start with him.
Mm-hmm.
When we started off with Penalty Box Radio and just a blog talk radio show online only,
mm-hmm.
the one thing you'd want to ask guests were, which Golden Girl would you be? because if we throw the guest off in a fun way, because everyone basically has their that one golden girl that you can relate to.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. I mean, he didn't matter who the guest was. If it was Kevin Weeks, if it was Sean Henry, if it was a player, somebody else, he would ask if you're...
And everybody thinks that, okay, we're, you know, interview's pretty much wrapped, and then you go get thrown that question. And it is. It's a question where you're kind of like, wait, which one would I be? And you really have to think on it. I do vividly remember that Sean Henry and I both picked the same person.
And who was
when
that?
When he asked that, Blanche.
Blanche.
And that was when Ben stopped judging me for my Blanche choice, because the first day I told him that, he judged me. And then I was like, okay, Sean Henry is also Blanche, so give me some credit.
All right. So I'm kind of surprised that the ringer didn't go on the phone here, because usually when you mention the name call, Sean Henry, it's like the bat signal.
Okay. Say it three times and he'll appear.
Sean Henry.
There you go.
Okay. Charlie Burris asked, outside of the obvious, like the power play, what are the things that this team needs to improve on the most at the moment? Overall, well, the power play.
Shoot the puck.
I know that's the obvious one, but what I want to see is more depth scoring and more balanced scoring. Mm-hmm. And I know it's tough, given the talent and given some injuries and things like that, but I want to see more balanced types of scoring, or at least see more high-danger opportunities coming from these other lines that maybe they're not scoring, but are they producing opportunities. When I say high danger, these are those ones where if the goalie wasn't there, it's going to go in, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're from the slot area. They're from right in front of the goalie. There's these point-blank opportunities, getting and producing these types of opportunities, not where it's just shots from the point, not where it's just shots on the outside, getting in the middle, centering passes, getting those types of one-time opportunities. I want to see in the power play, too. I don't get why you don't have a guy. Okay. Here's my perfect type of power play. And I know every team's different. Everybody has strategy, and I haven't played in the NHL, so... Sorry, but if you're going to have it, you have a player screening, of course. You have a player, another forward, hanging around the home area, which is typically called the slot, between the faceoff dots down low and circling around in that area. And then you have another player that's playing fetch, basically around the corners in those areas right there, and you have your 2 points, okay? Point gets it down low to the low area, finds a centering pass, shoots the puck one-timer, you have a guy screening.
Yep.
I mean,
and how often have a lot of people been saying that you want somebody that's going to be that net front presence? And that is something that they need. And also, I would like to just see Kevin Fiala get his stride back, because that once, you know, like you said, that would be getting some of that depth scoring. We're starting to see little bits and pieces of people, you know, getting their game together. And but I would like to see him gain his confidence back, because he is struggling. And I think that he could be a big benefit for this team if he can get back on track. So.
And he did have a good game last night.
Yeah, he did. We're starting to see that come around a little bit for him, but he's just been,
he's
it just hasn't worked. And
he needs to fight for it.
And his thing is that he's been all over the place. He's experienced every single line. And I think that maybe once he finds that place where he needs to be and can kind of get settled into that and get comfortable with it, then maybe we'll see that. Right now, he's probably just flustered and can't really find his feet. So I'd like to see that.
No, absolutely. And when I say he had a good game, it means you could see he was playing with an extra hitch in his giddy up. He was producing some. He was trying to produce some opportunities. He was chasing the puck in a good way, but he was moving his feet as well and wasn't slow. And one of the reasons why he probably got benched in the Kings game was because when Roman Josi was trying to get the pass to him, he didn't make enough of an effort to get to it and turn into a Kings goal.
Yep.
Boom! Right there. Three shifts in the second and third period.
Yeah.
That's a benching.
It is. Well, yeah. Yeah. When you can't make it to where the puck is going, and that means you're not focused enough and you're not hustling enough. So.
But that's what I want to see, especially the third line, no matter who's there. Create some opportunities. I know sometimes they get the tough matchup of who they're going to go against, but you got to push it the other way. That's what this team's built to do. You got to push it the other way. Okay. So Dan Scroggins asked, why did they not send down Ronaldo? Well, Ronaldo would have to go through waivers. And I think right at this point right now, if you're able to put a player down that's already passed through waivers once and they doesn't have to again this time, you go and send Grimaldi down that way. Whereas Ronaldo, he might get picked up. I don't know. There might be a team out there that is looking for a guy, because Ronaldo overall has played much smarter this stint in the NHL than he has in the past. So there might be a team that might be looking for, oh, hey, you know, he could be a fourth line guy for us. So you don't risk that right there, too, especially if they want to keep him for the time being. I don't see, obviously, Ronaldo playing much throughout the season, but that could be the reason why they don't send him down. Plus, Grimaldi can get some good playing time as well and keep fresh in Milwaukee. Okay.
That's good.
okay. This is the last question from Liv B. I like the Lions' performances for Monday. What do you think of Hartman with Turris, Fiala in the fourth with Gaudreau and Watson with Bonino? I think keep Smith in the first for the time being. No, I like that. I want to see Ryan Hartman get more of an opportunity in the top areas, in the top lines, because I think the way that he's playing, especially for his contract, he's the most offensive guy with that kind of term for what he's getting paid. And what he's showing, too, is he's able to read plays when he's playing defense in the point. How many times has he intercepted the puck or made a play and almost intercepted the puck that's being from defenseman to defenseman? He did that twice before and scored goals each time. So his ability to pick off plays and read plays like that, the prowess that he has defensively to push the puck the other way, I really like that. Plus, he has some speed and he has plenty of skill. We've seen that also on his shots. No, Allie, you didn't want to add anything to that?
No, I think you nailed it. Not much to add to something you nailed.
And I'm very sorry I did get distracted because Landry just tweeted me. So.
Oh, okay.
And thanked us for having it on the show.
Okay.
So.
Well, it is time to go, folks. Happy Thanksgiving. Wishing you and your family a very safe and happy holiday weekend. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Landry, Catfish Jake, the Davises for coming out here. And thank you to producer Josh for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. More information on hockey, post-game video, stories, everything on penaltyboxradio.com. For intern Allie and Glenn Blackwell, this is Justin Bradford. Thanks for tuning in to Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game.